There's actually his family here with us at The Promise. If you've been here with us for any amount of time, you know who he is. He's usually famous for playing his harmonica, which we'll see if we get any of that today. But Pastor Joey is preaching all over the place, got invitations everywhere. In a couple weeks' time, he does his annual, he flies out for the Southwest, I can never say it right, Southwest Believers Convention. Of course, you know who Kenneth Copeland is, a huge convention. He preaches there for the youth. So sought after preacher and just full of the word. And like I said, he's family here. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome up Pastor Joey Roberts.
Thank you so much. Amen. Glad to be here. Had a great time earlier. Get to do it twice. Amen. So it's nice to be here. This is my beautiful, lovely, talented, majestic, powerful wife. She makes me add all of those things. Kirsten and, of course, my family, Matt and Tara, are with us today. And my beautiful parents here, Miss Lindsay and Mr. Andrew. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And I'm Joey, and you're dismissed. Anyhow. No, glad to be here today. It's been a wonderful summer. I hope you're having a good summer, serving the Lord any way you can. And got a couple of things on my heart. You know, when you do back-to-back services, if you're flowing at all, it's impossible to duplicate something unless you have a pre-canned sermon, and I'm not really a pre-canned guy. If you watch anything I've done or been a part of, I really appreciate the flow of the Holy Spirit. And it's not something we just turn on. It's a daily thing. You know, the Holy Spirit given to us by Jesus. Jesus said right before he went to the cross, he said, though I'm going away, I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He'll not only be with you like I've been. What's up, man? I like that guy. But if you need an encouragement, if you need to feel better about you, go talk to him. Dennis, yeah. Unless you're playing golf, and then you really feel bad about yourself because he's a good golfer. But that's the Holy Spirit comes along to literally be your compass for life. One man, in fact, I just read this quote this morning randomly. It was actually my pastor's wife, Verna. She said, you know, many Christians are trying to live life just with a roadmap, but the Holy Spirit allows us to live life by a compass. He literally directs the north, south, east, and west of our life. Yeah. And we've been given a heavenly prayer language, speaking in other tongues, to activate that in our day-to-day life. And it's just a wonderful thing. One of the greatest things I'm thankful for these days is the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. We're all thankful for salvation. You know, many churches, I'd say most churches, highlight everything they do about the cross. And the cross is wonderful. Without the cross, we wouldn't be here today. But God, the Holy Ghost, comes on the scene to get us beyond the cross. You're not supposed to stay there. You know, the body of Christ, as Joe Morris says, he's been here before, the body of Christ in general has done a really great job of getting the gospel to us and the word of God to us and the gifts to us. But the whole design is once it gets to us, it's to get it through us. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, when he's invited in a place, that's one thing I love about this church, is you let the Holy Spirit direct what's going on here. You let the Holy Spirit lead us in the worship time. And never take that for granted, because not everyone gets that. Not everybody understands that. Amen. But you understand these things, because you understand revelation. Amen. You know, in the garden, Adam, through sin and a disregard for the word of God, he went from living life by revelation, the very words of God, living life by exactly what God said. And when he sinned, he fell from the place of revelation to a place of information or education. And today, according to the world system, that's as high as it gets, being educated. The more degrees you have after your name, the more schooling you've done, the price of your schooling is of high importance these days. Whether you went to a low income college or a very high prestigious thing, in the world prides itself That's why the world operates on pride. That's why we're never supposed to operate by pride or how we feel or an arrogance about us. Our life is literally a life that is humbled to be in the presence of God and led by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. And the Holy Spirit makes all that hook up. He makes all of that make sense. You know, Jesus said, I'll start off in a different scripture for this session. Jesus said in John 7, in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What a powerful statement. Amen. If you're thirsty, find Jesus. Amen. And you can find Jesus on a daily basis, even when you're born again. You can find that thirst-quenching Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But then in the next verse, it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the next verse explains exactly what those rivers are. This he spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified or died on the cross. You know, the life that you and I are called to live in this day right now that exemplifies Jesus the most, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we right now in this world. Yeah. Jesus allowed God, the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, to be with him everywhere he went and direct his steps and actually direct his words. Remember he said, I only say and do those things that I see and hear my Father say and do. That's the voice of God. And when he went away 8 days later on the day of Pentecost, when they're all assembled together in one place and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and it sat upon each of them, that's Acts 2:1-4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On that day, all of a sudden, man who was walking with Jesus and having their literal steps directed by following him, they literally could follow God with God living on the inside of them. And that's where we're at today. Now, not everybody buys into this, but it is a free gift for anyone who wants it. You can literally live a life that is directed, and I mean every decision. Sometimes we only look to God, the Holy Ghost. Many people only look to God, the Holy Ghost, when they're desperate. And for some people, that was your start. When you got desperate enough, when you ran out of answers, you invited God to come in and direct your steps. But it's not just for a place of desperation. He literally wants to help you from the big decisions down to the very little ones. You know, God even knows the days I'm supposed to wear socks or not. Today was a no sock day. Who knew? But literally, we joke about it, but God literally knows what you're going to enjoy for dinner before you know it. You know, God wants to be in the decisions of your life of, hey, you know, we got 2 movies to go to. And all of a sudden you'll have an inward leading of, hey, I just think this one's just going to be better. You know, when you're living your life in, Billy Brim says, the river of the Holy Ghost. You know, when you get into a river, you really don't have to do anything. You just flow. And that's what life in the Spirit is about. It's about not having to make the big decisions. That's why we have him. Isn't that something? I don't any longer have the stress, if I choose. I don't have to have the stress of making major decisions. I got a leading here. Look at Ephesians. The first session, we got a textbook thing. Now we'll just flow. Amen. And I will do my best to stay with it. Ooh, I didn't set my timer. Yeah, just give me that first 4 minutes as a freebie. You're seed sowers. Amen. The Lord will bless it back to you. Look at Ephesians. You ever wondered in your life for any given thing what the perfect will of the Lord is? See, now we're flowing. I can sense it right now that this is going to be the word of God for you directly. This will be this pivotal moment. You say, how can you say that? I just know it on the inside. You know, that's another thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You can dare to say things that you believe God is saying, and he will actually prove his word with signs following. Amen. Amen. Well, that went over huge. Amen. Ephesians, check this out. This is so cool. Ephesians 5. Verse 17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be ye not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Think about that. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, being not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Pastor Joey, I've got all these situations and circumstances, and I'm trying to find out what the will of the Lord is. There is but one. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm making a decision about college and where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do. I don't know the will of the Lord. Here's the will of the Lord for any question. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't answer my question wait a minute. See, he that hath ears to hear, Jesus said, so let him hear. I'm not speaking in paraphrases here. I'm not speaking up above the clouds. I'm literally telling you the will of God in any situation, at any moment in your life, is in that moment, take time to be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what's that mean? I'm so glad you asked. See, I knew you'd have that perfect question to set me up, and it's in the next verse. That's why I love the Bible. It explains itself. Scripture explains itself with other scriptures. And so he says here how, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you come to the Promised Church, you are having an opportunity in the first 20 minutes to have the perfect will of God in that moment. You're setting yourself up by speaking to yourself. Sometimes we say, you know, and don't get offended if you're in the band, but many times I heard this wonderful minister. He said, you know, one day I congratulated the singers, said, hey, you did a good job. And the lead singer said, no, it's all God. And he said, I thought to myself, well, it couldn't be all God. It would be way better than what you did. You know, sometimes we just say cliched things. Oh, you know, it's all God. Well, I couldn't possibly. I mean, if it was God, hello? Anyway, the perfect will of the Lord is that we take that time. You know, even in your worship, it ministers to God, but it ministers more to you. Why? Because he needs it less than you do. I mean, what does he need? He's without need. He's actually the need meter. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need. That means all his needs are met. Right? So when we come in here, even with our worship, we are all of a sudden taking a faith step. Yes, we're magnifying the Lord, but it's more about what it does to me. Amen. It puts me in the place not only to hear from God, not only to be in right standing with God, but actually to be led from that moment forward. And then you walk along through life. Now we're flowing here for a minute. You're walking along and you're being led, and then all of a sudden you get to a place. Here's another decision. Question, you gonna make it on your own? Why would you? Why do anything anymore by yourself? Why suffer the stress and possibly the consequences of the wrong decisions in life when you have the decision maker? One man said, he's my seamer. What's that mean? He shows me what seems right. This wonderful Asian pastor in Singapore, maybe you've heard of him, he said, you know, it's real easy to explain hearing from the Holy Ghost. If it seems good, pure, perfect, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, that we think on these things, if those line up with it, the majority, it's God. Right. And this is what he said. That was a real biblical, like, wow, that's a deep answer. He said, when it's not God, it just seems icky. Right. I had to rewind it 3 times to go, he just said icky. But he said, it's that simple. You ever been in a situation and for whatever reason, now the world is filled with two things, grace and pressure. Grace and pressure. There's always grace to do whatever you're called to do. And there's always a leading in that ease. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's always that leading. That's the compass. That's the inward witness. He's leading you into the ease of God. And many times people miss it, and I've missed it many times because I've made it too complicated. Like, this can't be God. This is the simple route. This can't be God. There's too much ease about this. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But there's been many times, I'll just tell myself, where instead of going with the ease, I went under pressure because of something somebody said or something I saw or the way the crowd is going or the way that people pressure you to do things. Now, I'm going to play my harmonica today, but not because you pressured me to. I just want that to be set anyway. I'm not going to play it right now. I want you to wait for it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, my whole harmonica career it's turning out to be, it seems like, I need to make a shirt and cash in on some of this. But, you know, this all started with me seeking the will of the Lord. All of it. I was on my way to a church service much like this, and I was going to teach to a helps ministry about helps, I guess. There's about 200 volunteers at my pastor's church. And on the way there, like I do many times when I'm by myself, you know, if I'm on my way to a service or sometimes when Kirsten's with me, but usually we're talking or praying or hanging out. But oftentimes when I'm traveling long distances on the road, this is a traveling instrument. You know, it's not like I can play the guitar while I'm driving. Well, I guess you could, but, you know, how do you explain that, officer? You know, this is a Fender Stratocaster. Anyway, I can't help but be goofy. I can remember I was living here. This would have been 2009. I had gone back up to New England to do some work, and I was on my way to teach at this church. And on the way there, I was like, man, I don't even have like a real sermon. This is 200 volunteers at a church of like 2,500. What do I have to say to them? I never pastored more than 100 and something people at any given time. And, you know, God always knows the right answer. The Bible says he will fill your mouth with good things. Remember that river of the Spirit I was talking about earlier? If you'll take a faith step and step into the river and then decide in times where it's like, I don't know what to do, in that moment, I'm going to have the perfect will of the Lord. I'm going to get back in the river. And how do I do it? Speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart unto the Lord. All of a sudden, his presence comes in as if I were in church at the Promise and Tim Noe and the crew are all rocking out. Man, you have a powerful gift. You have a gift of you'll think I'm Elvis here for a minute, dragging this around. But you have this thing about you that when you're singing, it's like you're doing battle. Yeah. I'm not calling you out other than I want to encourage you. There's nothing real spiritual about this, but I want to express to you how much I appreciate that. You get up there and you give it your... Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. See, we clap for men. We don't clap for God. So this is scriptural. Amen. But we honor you, and I honor you, because every time I'm here, man, you do this deal, and what it is it's full heart. I had a teenager once come to me, and he said, Pastor Joey, you want me here on Tuesday nights to youth group? You want me to come an hour early to serve? And then you want me here on Sunday mornings an hour early to be an usher? And this is back when we wore ties. And I have to wear a tie? And then you want me here again on Saturdays to serve food in the food ministry? He's like, I'm adding it up. I have no free days. And I said, Mike, all God wants is everything you've got. And he said, I don't get it. I said, just think about that statement. It just makes it simple. All he wants is everything you got. And man, when you're giving it everything you got, it comes out. So here I am. I'm in Massachusetts. And on the way, I'm like, Lord, I need, I don't know if you've ever been in this place, the ministers, and it looks like everyone in the room has been to Bible school, so I greet you as fellow ministers of the gospel. If not, you're going to go to Bible school one way or the other. We will get you there, okay? It's amazing the percentage of people who have gone to Bible school. I've never been in such a holy group. God bless you. You are just a beautiful people. But on the way to Boston from Maine, I was like, Lord, I need to get in the zone. That's what I'm talking about, in the zone. I need to get in the river. I need to get in this flow. And all of a sudden, the scripture came up. Speak to yourself. It's everything Pastor Cindy is doing. It's everything that you're doing. You're speaking faith up here. And you know, the ministry is never a backup plan. And all of you who are called to ministry, who are teetering on going to Bible school, that's never a backup plan. It's quite possibly that all the plans you've had up until now that got you to a place of ministry. I know so many ministers today who are musicians who say they didn't make it in that industry, but the industry of reaching people for the gospel of Jesus Christ was always the square that they were supposed to start at. Amen. But I'm on my way, and I'm ministering to the Lord, and I'm speaking to myself and doing these things. And all of a sudden, the presence of God, the anointing, showed up, and I lost all fear. I lost all worry. Here's the one thing I didn't know. I didn't know what I would say to those people. But I had this comfort on the inside that He would fill my mouth with good things. And so I began to sing and play and... Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Yeah. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like I used to be. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. How sweet the sound, yeah. It saved a wretch like I used to be. Yeah. Oh, I once was so lost, yeah. But now I've been found. Hey, was blind, but now I see. Now just chill for a second. You know, the anointing like this takes all of about 120 seconds just to come in, and it's not a show. It's real. Like, you can do this anywhere. You know, the infilling of the Spirit will actually prompt you to worship God. And you'll be at a stoplight somewhere. And all of a sudden you're like, man, I just need to lift up my voice for a minute. And here's the great thing. You might know what to sing. You might not know what to say. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden He'll give you words by the Spirit. You know, Paul tried to explain, and, you know, I'm not educated enough to explain how everything works. Be honest with you, I'm just glad it does. I mean, I don't know why a car works. I don't know why some cars can burn gasoline, and now cars can run off electricity, or you can actually burn vegetable oil or methane. You can, you know, I don't know how it all works. I'm just glad that I can get in and turn the key and that it works. You know, some people get caught up on the idea of why something works. And listen, the flesh is always going to want to know scientific evidence. But tell me why a man born of a virgin comes down from heaven, lays aside everything, lives a perfect life, never once said a bad word, never sinned. Spends several years with another group of men who are all bad guys, teaches them these doctrines, then decides, I'm going to give it all away, lay down my life on a cross, suffer the worst, horrific, murderous time of anyone's death, then go to hell, then come back 3 days later, appear to many, and then go to heaven, and somehow you confessing all that and believing that gets you to heaven? Explain that. Some things are unexplainable. That's why we have faith. And without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says it's not possible to please God. So if the infilling of the Holy Spirit has been held up in my life because I need something to appease my flesh, then I'm missing the whole idea. My flesh gets appeased in the process when I take the step of faith. But my flesh is always wondering if it's real, if it's true, if anything's real or anything's true. But see, I even read my Bible under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, I'm just reading it to read it. Are you still here? You got time for a few points? Reasons why every believer should speak with other tongues. Number one, tongues is the initial sign of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2. Verses 1 through 4, I quoted this earlier, and here's verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues was the initial sign of the early church that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in a language that they'd never heard of, but they did it by faith. The syllables are not the important thing. It's the faith that's important. I said in the first service, why I love praying in other tongues so much, it's the only type of prayer that requires full-on faith for every syllable. It's the highest form of prayer there is. I can pray in English. I can even pray a little bit in Spanish. But it'll still require my mental intellect and me to be able to explain things. But when I pray in other tongues, sembreke, sefrimba, achekea, manzolodien, zabrapa, asapam, baranzagede. What did you say, Joy? I have no idea. But it's doing something to me on the inside. What's it doing? Number two, praying in tongues gives spiritual edification. First Corinthians 14:4 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That word edify means this: to teach in a way that improves the mind or character, to build up and improve. To teach in a way that improves the mind or character. You know, praying in tongues is the only thing. Check this out. It's the only God-given thing that allows me by faith to educate myself on something I've never studied. John G. Lake saw three men where was he? He was in Africa. And he saw these three businessmen at a train station. He was waiting for a train. And he said, I overheard them talking and discussing a matter, but I did not speak their native tongue. He said, but my heart went out to them. And I knew on the inside, just from being in their presence, they needed Jesus, and I had him, but I had no way to convey it. And he said, though I could not speak in their tongue, I could speak in the language of heaven, in spiritual tongues. And he said, Lord, oh, make sense of the words that come out of my mouth for the sake of these men. Oh, Lord, by faith, I'm going to go on the unknown. You know, Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, he did not know if that water would hold him. Why? Because it's water. You can't walk on water. You know, Peter didn't walk on the water. He walked on the words of Jesus. Amen. 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 You can't walk on water. That's not possible. But you can walk on the word. That's why the scenario says, he said, Lord, if it be you, say it. Bid me to come. Jesus said, it's me. Come on. Peter stepped out of the boat, but it wasn't the water that held him. In fact, he started trusting in the water and he began to sink. You can walk on the word. You can walk on the word. You can walk on the word. You know, when I'm praying in other tongues, the Lord will remind me of different scriptures. Sometimes scriptures I've never looked at. It's amazing. The Bible says he'll fill my mouth with good things. What's the good thing? The right thing at the moment. Amen. John G. Lake went up to those three men and he dared to do the unthinkable. He approached them, and though he didn't speak their language, he said, by faith, I'm willing to put this out. Now, I'm not telling you to go in the streets today and find all the, you know, people of different cultures and try and speak to them in other tongues. But I tell you, God made sense of Lake's words that day, and all three men came to know Jesus. They heard what he said in their own native tongue. That happened to him several times. I've not experienced that personally, but I've seen it through a man by the name of Aaron Jones. Up in Redding, California, part of Bethel. There's been two occasions when we were overseas together that I saw him speak to people in other tongues and lead them to Christ, never having said a word in their language and them not understanding English. Praying in other tongues literally teaches me things. People have sat down at the piano to worship God. They've never had a lesson. And all of a sudden, by the Spirit and the grace of God, they're able to do things that they could not do. You say, that's impossible. That's what we're talking about. Impossible things that make no sense. Are you still here?
Yes.
Number three. Oh, I got to tell you this. Howard Carter. Anyone ever heard of Howard Carter? Of course not. Anyway, he's the founder of the oldest Pentecostal Bible school in the world. He was the general supervisor over the Assemblies of God in Great Britain for 19 years. He said this about the Holy Spirit. We must not forget that speaking with other tongues is not only the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling, but it's also a continual experience for the rest of one's life. One man asked him, what is the purpose of this experience? He said this, simply put, to assist us in the worship of God. Sometimes during a song service, I'm not interested in what's on the thing. If I don't know the song, sometimes I just want to close my eyes and sing the melody in other tongues. Hey, Masadea Sai, oh, Framba, Pembembebe, Bremba. This is probably an 80s tune, I guess. Bremba de de Sadi. It's kind of like a camp meeting thing. And sometimes I just worship God in tongues. What are you saying? Why are you doing that? Just in the moment, I want to step out by faith. It takes no faith to read the lyrics. Anyone can do that. Only you can do that. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes I'm so led that I just want to just step over into the supernatural. Quit waiting on God to pull you in the supernatural. There's nothing about him as being a puller or a pusher. He's a leader. Shepherds lead, they don't push. Are you still with me? Number three, tongues reminds us of the Spirit's indwelling presence. John 14, let's look at John 14, 16 and 17. This one's worth looking at. Jesus said it, so you know it's important. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Isn't that interesting? Because the world doesn't see him or understand him, they can't receive him. But you and I, we see him by faith. You say, how do you know you're born again? Number one, because the Bible says it. Number two, I believe what the Bible says. I think we should get back to those days, and I can hear it in Pastor Cindy's voice, he said it, I believe it, that settles it. Why are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Because it's a free gift and I wanted everything that God had for me. Tongues reminds me of the indwelling presence of God. Everywhere I go, it's important to me to know that God is there with me. You ever been to a job interview? And on the way in, it's like, oh man, I hope I have all the credentials right. I hope I wrote my resume right. You know, you don't ever have to go anywhere and face another human being with fear ever again. You can actually have boldness. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes up and on you. Amen. You know, God sent the Holy Spirit and he fell one time. But now he falls on us because he's coming up and on us. Right. When I have him down in here, that's one thing. But it's a whole other thing to have him on me. It's the difference between being on a battlefield knowing I own a gun and having it with me. Right? You're in the grind, you're on the battlefield, and it's like, I've got a beautiful 30-06 at home. Sure would be great to have it with us, wouldn't it? I've got all kinds of artillery to defend ourselves with, but it's all locked up in the safe. Well, that's how being born again without ever expressing or receiving or by faith walking in the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues. You have an arsenal on the inside of you to defend you, to hold back things, to pull in things, to take care of things, to go before you. You don't ever have to go anywhere wondering how it's going to turn out. Even family functions. Thanksgiving no longer has to be a mystery. Christmas time, Hanukkah, whatever you're into. If it concerns the family, you can go prayed up and you don't even have to be religious. You can just be your beautiful, wonderful self. Because something about praying in the Spirit, it literally releases, you know, it releases ministering spirits like angelic beings, angels. You can literally, you don't even have to command them in English. Oh, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Almost done. Continuing to pray and worship God in tongues helps us to be ever conscious of His presence with us. If I can be conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit every day, it's bound to affect the way I live. True story. I had a teenage boy in my youth group. I'll just read it to you because I wrote this some months ago. He said he had what his parents called a short fuse, always in trouble. He's always in the principal's office, always getting in trouble at home. And he came to me and he was earnest about it. He wasn't some punk. He said, Joey, I've gotten saved here at the youth group, and I know that things are changing in me, but I still fall into these old ways. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you don't have a short fuse, but maybe you got other things that are the old man. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and knowing that he's there and praying in other tongues and being reminded of his presence will literally cause me to see things differently, including seeing myself differently. I am no longer the same, and he reminds me of who I am in him. I told this young man, I said, what you need is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he said, can you help me with that? We got him filled with the Holy Spirit, and literally in days, his mother, who did not come to my church, she said, I don't know what you're doing here. And this is the kicker. She said, I'm not really interested in it for myself. She was letting me know this would be the one time she would grace me with her presence. But she said, thank you. I don't recognize my son. And I started to tell her, and she said, I'm not really interested in it for myself. It reminded me of the car thing. I don't care how they work. I'm just glad they do. You know, though I couldn't win her to the Lord, I couldn't get her filled with the Holy Spirit, her literal home was changed because of a 14 or 15-year-old young man getting filled with the presence of God and knowing how to activate it for himself. I said, bro, listen, every night before you go to bed, every time you feel like you're going to have an argument, every time an altercation is happening, every time something's going on that you don't feel good about, pray in other tongues. Take just a moment and stop and recognize the indwelling presence of God and pray in the Spirit. It doesn't have to be out loud where everyone can hear you. You can do this under your breath. I'll give you one more point. I can tell you're hungry for it. Number four, and this is a really good one. Praying in tongues will keep your prayers in line with God's will. Look at Romans real quick. We'll close. I have several closings. I'm just kidding. There's only a few. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm speaking in other tongues, it literally keeps foolishness and selfishness out of my prayer life. You want to learn how to pray perfect prayers that are free from selfishness or free from self at all? Pray in the Spirit. When I'm praying in the Spirit, He's praying for me. He's praying through me. He's actually praying out things that I could not come up with on my own. It's supernatural prayer. My father used to say that praying in other tongues is the grenade of all prayers. You don't know what to pray. You're trying to have a prayer meeting in 20 or 30 minutes, and there's just too many things to pray about. Start praying in other tongues and lob the grenade of the Holy Ghost, and He'll just explode and hit everything at once. But Joey, how will we know if we hit everything? Well, besides the results that will follow because He confirms His word with signs following, you can put your faith in the fact that He said He would do what He would do, and He's doing what He's doing through you. Amen. That's a lot of words for me to say in one sentence. Amen. But if I could encourage you, stand with me real quick. If I could encourage you, I didn't get all my points. Go out and get yourself a book called Why Tongues by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's like a dollar, I think. If you don't have a dollar, you could steal one. You could get a harmonica and panhandle. But there's 10 points that he had. And he says in the book that there's many reasons why, but these were 10 things that he had learned. But I tell you, I truly believe every believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, I suffer persecution for things I preach. I'm willing on this one. I say this, if you've been on the fence about it, try it for 30 days. It's a money-back guarantee. You don't have to call an 800 number. You say, isn't this supposed to be a serious moment? Well, I mean, it's as serious as I can make it. But if you tried praying in tongues, even if it, I don't know, just didn't agree with what you thought it should be, you might find after 30 days that it's like, I'm never going back to not praying in other tongues. And even if I don't, if you never studied the subject and you never got any more reason to defend why you do it other than it's awesome, there's no more. That was it. Like, it's awesome. It's changing my life. I wake up in the morning. I pray another. You know, I can pray in other tongues while I brush my teeth. Why? Because it's my spirit praying. There's no other prayer language you can do that with. I can pray in other tongues while I'm having a conversation with you over coffee. Just under my breath. You know, one of the points I wanted to get to was praying in other tongues keeps you free from the world's contamination around you. You work in an office that's demon-possessed. You work under a boss that's lost his mind, and there's all kinds of strife around you. Oh, and by the way, stay away from strife. Treat it like a pit of snakes. Treat strife like a pit of snakes. But you might be in an office setting. You're like, I'd like to give everybody here the gospel, but I can't. Well, you can pray in other tongues. You know, praying in other tongues will make you, will take you from going to be a thermometer to a thermostat. You will literally change the atmosphere. I've seen strife with other people in office situations literally shut down in a 24-hour period after a tongue talker has not been talking to them, just talking to the Lord in other tongues. It changes the atmosphere. I want to invite you to bow your heads.